The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
It's Friday, and another week gone. Wow, crazy stuff. Look for a launch tomorrow or Sunday. Kim has another ICBM ready to go, as you know by now. Most of you, Donald Trump has ordered the American military to shoot it down. Shoot any missile down that Kim launches. We will see what happens. It's a test missile. I would think that they would want to watch and monitor and pick up the telemetry from the missile and understand exactly what's going on with it to perhaps give them more ammunition later on electromagnetically to deal with these things. Laser, EMF, Aegis, Patriot, THAAD. They got a lot of ways to do a missile like this no good and bring it down. So we'll see. If the missile goes up, it'll probably go over the Pacific, 4,000 miles, maybe something like that, and drop down the Pacific. There won't be anything in the warhead except mass, maybe some concrete, something like that. I wouldn't really worry too much about it. I think we should just watch it. And I think that it's quite clear now to the Trump generals that China and Russia will not accept a nuclear war on the Korean Peninsula. And I think you'll see him begin to back down. In fact, he did today back down and said that nuclear war wasn't a must. So these languages of diplomacy are very clear if you look at them, what they're saying. Okay, Madeline Gerwick is back for her monthly visit a week late this month, and we appreciate her juggling her schedule. She's got 2 hours tonight. Second hour, we'll be able to take your phone calls. We'll give you the number. It's up right now in guests at rents.com. So take a look there. And the second hour, we'll take some calls. Hello, Madeline. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, and I'm glad to be back. There's lots happening this month.
Well, tell us what you said last month about this month.
I don't know if I can remember that far back.
Well, was it destined to be or supposed to be, or did it have indicators suggesting that it would be a rather volatile month? It is already that.
Yes, that's correct, because the solar eclipse, which we had on August 21st, is being reactivated, and it's been actually continuously reactivated ever since the day of the eclipse.
What does that mean? What does that mean, reactivate?
Well, it means the energies for the eclipse are being intensified and amplified, and that eclipse had Uranus trine the eclipse point, the sun and the moon. So there's a strong element of liberation, freedom, and awakening that's occurring with this particular eclipse. Now, liberation can take many forms. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it means you don't have the job you used to have, or you might not be with the same person you had a relationship with, or maybe somebody's moving away. Occasionally somebody is dying.
They do that once in a while.
Yeah, because there are, and, you know, maybe you're moving out of a house or a place where you've been living. Uh-huh. There's just a lot of different ways that you can end up being liberated in some way. And it may not feel great when it happens, but in the long run, it's a benefit. And it, in terms of the overall country, of course, there can be quite a few major events that could occur with that. And this month, we just had this week Mars at the eclipse point along with Mercury. So that's a lot of this wind and storm and fire and, you know, just major earthquake energy. Eclipses are often associated with earthquakes within 30 days, plus or minus. And this one certainly is lived up to that equation. And we should definitely talk about earthquake potential in a few moments. But because the eclipse went over the entire country, you basically have a situation where the entire country is waking up in some way and getting liberated or getting more freedom in some way. Now, there are a number of ways that can happen.
So the eclipse is kind of like, as it passes across the country, it's kind of like unzipping the country?
Kind
energetically?
It's like...
See my point? A little visual picture for people. It unzipped the energy.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, yeah. Yeah, it's taken off the veil, so to speak, maybe. And I think you very likely might see changes to the financial system due to this eclipse. And by the way, this month has got eclipse activations the entire month, which is pretty unusual, actually. And there's a couple more of them next month, and then one the month after in November, and another two of them at least in December. So there's a lot of push between now and the end of the year for major changes to occur. And one of those changes, I think, is going to be what we call financial freedom. Now, that shows up in the middle of this month, around September 16th through the 19th, and Venus first trines Uranus, which is already representative of financial freedom, and then it hits the eclipse point the very next day. So it's very interesting to watch this, because from a cycles point of view, I've been expecting, well, cycles and an economic background point of view, I've been expecting that Trump would do something to redo the whole monetary system, you know, make the U.S. dollar gold-backed, possibly make it, you know, make it a U.S. Treasury dollar instead of a Federal Reserve dollar. That would eliminate an enormous amount of bleeding for the U.S. taxpayer. You know, a long time ago, I looked to see about 40% of the debt was owed to the Federal Reserve, and wouldn't it be nice to stop that bleeding?
Yeah.
And
well, those people are not going to give up their control. They'll take us all down first. They've had the Federal Reserve Act for over 100 years now, 1913, and they will not give it up.
Well, that's correct. They're going to fight tooth and nail for that, because they are rich off of us as you know, taxpayers are paying to rent our money, which is ridiculous. But I think it's very possible you'll see gold, back the U.S. dollar. And that would change the entire scenario, you see, because really, China and Russia and all these other countries have tried to figure out a way to get around the U.S. dollar being the world reserve currency. You know, everything's traded in dollars, but the dollar they know is going down the tubes. It's already gone down something like 12 or 13 points year.
That's right.
Which is practically unheard of. And it's beyond being on its knees. It's on its lips. it doesn't have much to hold it together. So really the only real solution to all of this is to fix the dollar. And the only way you can fix it is to put it back on the gold standard. There really is not another solution. Now, the gold standard doesn't require that you make it a U.S. Treasury dollar. That would certainly be very revolutionary. But those are the energies we have now through April for the U.S., so perhaps that will actually get accomplished. And, you know, if you want to get the U.S. out of debt, you've got to get the dollar out of the Federal Reserve, from being controlled by the Federal Reserve. Meaning that the U.S. Treasury is the one printing and controlling the dollar, not the Federal Reserve. So that's a possibility because, as I say, these eclipse points are being activated very rapidly. And some of these eclipse points could even suggest that we're going to see the pedophilia situation get arrested.
Well, there have been enough. I think 1,400 people were arrested, but they're little fish.
Guys. I'm talking about big fish.
we'll see.
At the end of this month, we have Jupiter opposite Uranus for the last time, square to Pluto of the United States, the U.S. Pluto. It's a very exact aspect. It's very unusual. Because it's a huge, gigantic, unexpected power play.
Right.
And the only thing I can think of, well, I mean, you might see a big power play against Trump. I'm sure they would be planning that. But I think he's still too protected for them to be able to take him out. although he is losing his top security guy, which concerns me, that he's had for 20 years or whatever.
Why did he lose that person?
Because he's now a government employee, and so they can only pay him $165,000 a year, and he was making a lot more than that in private.
As a private consultant to Trump.
Yeah.
I wanted to make that clear, that he took himself out. He wasn't necessarily forced out.
Oh, no. Trump was very upset
that
he decided to leave, right?
Yeah, no.
No, but it does concern me to see his top guy in security leave.
I think Trump has been so sequestered now by the generals that he is inadvertently probably safer than he was before. They want him under total control, and they've got him. So they got to keep him healthy. Best life insurance he could have.
Yeah, you're probably right about that, yeah. So that pretty well leaves the big power play to be against the pedophilia bigwigs. That's how I would read it. Now, it could also be something related to the debt, the U.S. budget.
Uh-huh.
Those are possible, but, you know, Trump has kind of done his little deal with the Democrats, so I don't think it's that. I think it's more likely to be the pedophilia ring.
And you know, if the pedophilia ring comes down, my friend, that's the end of the government as we know it. It'll have to be restructured and repopulated with all new people.
Well, a lot of them anyways.
enough to cripple it as we know it for the time being, which would be just fine with me. But these people...
You might get your wish. big things are happening this month and through the rest of this year, you see. And I actually do expect to see whatever is happening with the U.S. dollar happened before the end of the year. So maybe it's getting started this month. You see, like, we might not see it. You see, around the middle of this month, we might not see what's happening with the dollar because it's probably all behind closed doors, right?
Sure.
But, you know, the thing that really tipped me off on this was that Steven Mnuchin from the Treasury Secretary went to Fort Knox on the actual day of the solar eclipse. I could not believe that. I was just totally amazed that he would choose that day to go. But anyways, he goes on that day to check and see if there's gold in Fort Knox, and then he tweets out that our gold is safe. Now, that's a very big clue, I think, to what's going on. Because why does the Treasury Secretary go to check on our gold? No one's looked in, I don't know, 50 or 60 years. You know, it's, at least in theory, no one's
right.
looked at, you know. So all of a sudden, the Treasury Secretary's interested.
Did it cause him to miss the eclipse, or did he go after the eclipse? Do we know?
I don't know that. But, you know, the day of the eclipse is significant because, you see, the Venus is going to come along. Venus represents money in the U.S. dollar and all these things. So Venus is going to come along and hit that eclipse point at the middle of this month. And here Mnuchin goes on the day of the eclipse to check and see that our gold is safe and then tweets it out yet. You know, it's not like a secret. It's like, hey, everybody, our gold is safe. You know, so it's fascinating that he would put out that big clue, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second big clue was that the U.S. Sent back to Germany the gold that we should have sent them years ago when they asked for it, right? But we didn't apparently have it because we refused to send it. And now all of a sudden we send it before we promised to send it. So I thought that was another interesting tie into this gold situation.
Sure.
So, you know, if you have listeners who are interested in protecting themselves with gold, now is got to be the time to buy gold because once it goes up, once it gets announced that, you know, we're going to do some kind of a new monetary system and the U.S. dollar is going back on a gold-backed currency, I think you're going to see gold go through the roof. I mean, that's probably going to be it, just in order to cover the amount of dollars that are out there. I think you'd probably be looking at, I don't know, $8,000 to $10,000 per ounce, maybe more, but at least in that range, $8,000 to $10,000 per ounce. And so then, you know,
it won't go there, my friend, unless they want it to go there. They control everything. They're not going to let gold. They will not give gold a free rein any more than they'll give the stock market a free rein. They got the PPT. It's on. They've got algorithms.
Oh, yeah, no, I totally understand that. But in order for them to back the U.S. dollar with gold, they would have to agree to increase the price of gold to somewhere between $8,000 to $10,000 per ounce to cover the value of the trillions of U.S. dollars that are out there. You see, it has to match.
Yeah.
And so they would have to agree in advance. You see that the new price is going to be X because we're going to back all these U.S. dollars with gold, and in order to do that, we have to raise the price of gold to whatever Y is that will match. You see, so they have to do something to make it work, and of course, a lot of gold bugs for years have said 5,000 to 10,000 or something like that. Everybody thought they were insane. But if gold is going to back the U.S. dollar, it would be a high number. It can't be what it is now. It couldn't even be twice of what it is now or even three times what it is now. It'd have to be quite a bit higher in order to, because you have a limited amount of gold that's in the vault at Fort Knox, and that has got to equal whatever the value of your dollars are. So
you mean a limited amount of gold sprayed titanium bars?
Well, we don't know, actually. There's actually quite a possibility that it's real gold, and it's actually quite a possibility that the real gold came from vaults in Asia, and that would be the original vaults, the original gold that was mined by the Anunnaki and divvied up between certain families who were kind of put in charge of the earth. So it's very possible that they did a deal and backed the U.S. I think it's possible. So, and we know that gold exists. We know there's people that have gone over there and seen it. And, you know, so we know that gold exists, and there is enough gold over there to do that, to back all the gold that would be needed to back the U.S. dollar. For that matter, they have enough gold that's been hidden away for thousands of years to back 95% of all the currency in the entire world. So we know they could do it. We just don't know who did what and how all these things, you know, have been arranged behind the scenes. So there's quite a bit of interesting possibilities with this eclipse. And I think if we get the situation where the pedophilia guys are arrested, that will start to clean up a lot of things.
There are some pedophilia girls, too.
Oh, I am sure. Yeah. Yeah, we know about that, right? So, yeah, definitely. It's both sides. It's not just guys. So yeah, I'm sure that that would be a fairly shocking event for a lot of people. And it would, as you say, kind of clean house in the government in terms of...
I think it would bring the government
to
an essential halt, because all these people, remember, they're innocent until proven guilty in a court of law, and that will take years. In the meantime, they will get an injunction to remain in office in many cases. They're not going to go anywhere. They'll have enormous legal expenses paid for by the machine. Yeah, let them be indicted. I don't know. We'll see. I'd like to see.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. I mean, it could be something else, too, but it certainly looks like a gigantic, unexpected power play.
Gotcha. All right. We'll find out more as the days and weeks go by. We will be right back. Hang on. Okay, and here we are, back. Now, for those of you watching Irma, I put a top story up, and it shows the actual satellite track of this hurricane. It is not moving toward Florida. If you look at it, it's moving directly horizontal from right to left, due west, right over Cuba. It's going to have to do an abrupt 90-degree turn to the north, or it'll have to go into the Gulf and loop back to hit Florida if it continues on the path it currently is showing. Now, remember, there are two hurricanes behind it. We don't know where they're going, but this hurricane, at this moment, if you watch the live animation of the satellite, you will see it's moving put a ruler up there. It's moving flat line from east to west. So we'll have to wait and see. There's a lot of, I put a couple of videos up there, Madeline, that you may have noticed. Okay. Well, one of them has to do with cloud seeding, and the other one has to do with look what came out of Harvey. Well, if you simply watch the video, for example, of the current storm track or any, you will see what look like explosions of moisture that pop up all around these. It's very unstable air. Now, a cloud formation popped up like they do by the hundreds in a hurricane's track. And in the middle of it was a small white cloud, which dissipated and moved away to the right. Well, the guy says, it's very interesting, very suspicious. But no, it's very common. It's not a hard object. It melted away like all the other clouds do when they rise and they move off center. But these explosions of moisture are extremely common. So that's nothing. And the other one has to do with cloud seeding. Well, the cloud seeding did happen, but it had to do with Pecos, Texas, and they were having a dry spell there, and they did try to cloud seed some of the outer band of Harvey, obviously not realizing it was going to move where it did. So that's perfectly normal and understandable as well. I don't see anything about either one of these videos that should be worried about or really taken too seriously. They're just nature and stupidity of men seeding or trying to seed the outermost ring, ringlet or band of moisture of Hurricane Harvey. So, you know, big deal. The thing about this guy with Secure Team is he's monetized, or he was. He's got 100 million subscribers. Do you have any idea how much money he's making on videos that cost him nothing, that people send to him constantly?
He just puts them up. They kind of demonetize those guys, so I don't know the answer to that. It sounds like YouTube took those guys.
I don't know.
And demonetized a lot of them.
Well, a lot of them.
They can't make ad revenue anymore.
Say he's got a million. See how many of them show up with commercials. I don't know. I don't watch them. But let's say they demonetized half of them. That still leaves 500,000 subscribers who are going to look at most every video up there. And the monetization potential is gigantic. Okay?
It is if they let him have ads, which they took away for quite some time. I don't know if they let him have any of them back. But
well, they did. They did just take them away about a month or 6 weeks ago. But up until that point in time, believe me, this guy has should have a lot of money in the bank.
He recently got to the 1 million, so that was pretty recent in the last few weeks. But
remember, that's all free videos. He didn't go out and put those together.
Well, it's free in the sense that he didn't have to put out money to make them, perhaps. But
they're volunteered
labor.
Well, for that amount of money, I think I could somehow muster up the label to repost them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and that's good. That's good to know. I mean, the situation with hurricanes and earthquakes and volcanoes, that kind of stuff, big fires, things of that nature, as I mentioned earlier, often associated with eclipses within about 30 days. And of course, yesterday we had, or actually, I guess it depends on what time zone you're in, could be today, we had the great big earthquake in Mexico. And I sent you that one
8.1
video. The video, 8.1. Some of them had said 8.2. I saw up to 8.4, but they hadn't finalized it when I looked at it last. But it was a pretty big earthquake, and it actually was so much energy released that the buoys on the tectonic plates all along the Pacific were activated and started moving. And the National Data Buoy Center was showing all of those buoys up the West Coast all the way past Alaska as flashing in event mode. So all those buoys were saying, hey, something's going on here. We're moving around. And they were all in event mode. So that was just a warning, because we had a lot of coronal mass ejections this week from the sun. And we had a couple of these kind of medium-sized ones early in the week. And the last medium-sized one was actually not too far off from being one of the large ones. It was fairly close to that. But be that as it may, that one landed, I think, on Earth on Wednesday. And then Wednesday, there was a giant coronal mass ejection of a 9.3. So it's a 9.3 out of a 10. And it was the 15th largest recorded CME that we've ever recorded. Of course, I don't know how long we've been able to get very accurate data, you know, in that technology, but of all the ones that we've been able to record, that was the 15th largest. So that one hit last night, and that was the trigger for the earthquake in Mexico. And there's another one, another coronal mass ejection that was spit out yesterday and is supposed to hit today or maybe tomorrow. And that's also another X-class, one of the large ones. So we have a huge amount of energy coming to us from the sun. Now, people react to these things, too, and they can react in various ways. Some people get exhausted from them. Some people have headaches. Some people have dizzy spells. Some people become very disruptive or unfocused. Can't focus on their work. They're too restless and agitated to be able to accomplish much. So it's a kind of a wide variety of symptoms that people can go through. Pets can have problems as well. And, you know, kind of go into erratic behavior or just, you know, zonked out or not feeling well or whatever. See, so it can impact us in a lot of different ways. But it basically impacts the entire Earth because this energy is so big and so intense, and it hits one of the poles and then it kind of wraps around the whole Earth. And the Earth has to do something with that energy, and if there's something that's kind of on the verge of, you know, a volcano or an earthquake or something like that, then it can tip it over. And there actually is a fair amount of research. The guy, Mitch Batros from the Science of Cycles, has done a lot of research to show the direct connections between eclipses and these coronal mass ejections and earthquakes, volcanoes, hurricanes, that kind of stuff. So, as I was mentioning earlier, the solar eclipse point is pretty activated the entire month of September. And if you have any listeners who live on the west coast of the U.S. or up in Alaska, even up in Vancouver area, B.C. area, now might be a good time to have a plan, have some preparations just in case, you know, we do pick up an earthquake. Certainly, this weekend is one of the higher challenges for distributing all that energy around the Earth. So, but you might also get some great pictures of auroras if you have an area without a lot of smoke, like I do. So.
Well, there's smoke all up and down the Northwest.
Oh, it's unbelievable. The smoke level. I can see nothing but trees. No hills, no foothills, no mountains, no sun.
No stars,
bizarre.
None of that. Yeah.
No stars. Yeah, it's bizarre. It's totally bizarre up here. But certainly a big part of this eclipse energy is these potentials for big changes in the way of earth changes and so forth. So it's good to be protected in terms of having right. some extra preparations, things of that nature on hand. Now, I wanted to mention a little bit about Harvey, if we have time, only because it's going to have an economic impact on the country. You have a situation where a lot of those homes are not recoverable because they were just basically underwater, and they're essentially teardowns. So, and you have a lot of cars. I don't know how many. You must have at least 100,000 cars, or 200,000, or I don't know. Maybe you got a 500,000. I don't know. But you got a lot of cars that were underwater. They're never going to work again. They're going to end up scrapped. So, in a certain sense, those people will end up buying cars and houses, and building new houses and things of that nature. So, in a certain sense, there's an economic engine that will come out of it. But it takes a little bit of time. And in the meantime, there's also a kind of an economic hit in the terms of, the U.S. government is going to end up putting out a fair amount of money, and insurance companies are going to put out a fair amount of money. There's going to be probably a good number of homes that will be foreclosed by the banks, because who's going to pay for them when they went underwater
sure.
and were abandoned, right? so there is a...
It really is what they call an underwater mortgage, right?
Yes. A real underwater mortgage, yes. So you have two pieces of this. You have the part where things are going to have to be written off. You're going to have big losses in certain parts of the economy, and then later on, probably your car companies are going to see some revved up sales and things of that nature as people replace a lot of those autos and then start building new homes and things of that sort. So, but that's going to be the secondary reaction. The first one is going to be kind of a temporary downturn. So that's what I want to remind people of, is that you're probably going to see a situation this month, even into next month probably, where the stock market is not doing quite so well, and the bond market is not doing well, and things of this sort are not looking too good. I wouldn't worry about it too much, because it'll come back up next year or at the end of this year. It'll probably by November or December, you'll start to see things pick up again because we'll go into holiday mode. But just temporarily, there's probably going to be a fair number of people that'll, cry the sky is falling or whatever. And but I think it's just temporary. It's not going to be permanent, because we're in the economic high until November 5th of 2018.
Right.
So we've got another year to go, a little over a year to go in this economic high, and then it's still going to be pretty darn good for another 18 months, and for that matter, even reasonably good for 18 months after that. So you're really at a good point now. The economy is not going to crash and burn because of Harvey. But I just wanted to make that point, because it is a kind of a double-edged sword. And they have quite a few challenges to get those areas cleaned up and renewed. Now, another thing I wanted to talk about is our equinox, which is coming up on the 22nd of September. And the fall equinox is kind of the balance point in the fall. It's the first day of autumn. The sun moves into the sign of Libra, and that's how we know when it occurs. And the chart for that moment tells us a fair amount about the next 3 months until we get to winter at the winter solstice in December. So now, and this occurs at 4:03 p.m. Eastern Time, 1:03 p.m. Pacific Time on September 22nd. So now, there could still be major windstorms showing up along the East Coast. That does show up in that chart. But interestingly enough, the previous two cycles, or the previous two quarterly charts that we had for spring and for summer showed high levels of flooding. So apparently we're out of flooding season, and now we're going to go into windstorms, which is hurricane season anyway, so that seems right. Now, Congress looks like they're getting back to work. They're making some changes. Saturn has moved forward. It's been retrograde for the last, I don't know, 4.5 months, something like that. So it's finally in the forward motion, and that's the time when you're able to make changes to structures and laws and all this other stuff that Trump has been trying to do while it was retrograde. So I think you will see in the fall here a fairly smooth effort to pass a bunch of changes, a bunch of laws. Probably your tax laws will pass. I'm sure your debt ceiling is going to get raised and things of that sort. So that will move forward a little bit faster now, and hopefully they might even get back to Obamacare, which would be good. But our financial markets during this fall period look mixed. And it kind of looks like the government is propping up the stock markets, like what we were talking about before with the plunge protection team. And but they're not able to do too much with the situation with bonds. And that is actually one of the reasons why I think you're about to see the gold market change. I mean, the U.S. dollar change because of becoming backed by gold. At some point, they just don't have enough legs to pay all the debt because they can't get people to buy it. And so we're getting closer to that point where they have to do something. And this seems to be one of those points where the government is having a heck of a time in the bond market. And so I think they're definitely getting close to where they have to do something different than what's been done. And Trump is a businessman. He's been through bankruptcy before. He knows how things are reorganized and how you climb out of debt and so forth. I think you're going to see him make some changes with this. And the consumer economy looks like it's flowing a little bit easier, but retail is probably still challenged by some structural changes. So that's probably things related to brick and mortar versus, you know, online sales, things of that nature. We're likely to get some pretty good help through the fall, though, for retail, because we do have one good cycle, Mercury trine Pluto, that should prop that up.
Oh, okay.
So hopefully.
All right. Well, we have to take a break here, but I did put the two videos up just to, hopefully as an instructional thing. The cloud seeding is bogus. It didn't happen, and it certainly didn't cause Hurricane Harvey. It wasn't done in the eye, the vortex, or in any way the major mass of it. It was in an outflung little band of clouds over Pecos that all hurricanes create, and it was a very limited operation. So forget that. And then the other one, claiming that it shows a white dot, which has to be some kind of a UFO. It's BS. It's a cloud. Watch it disappear. And they happen. I've
right.
seen them.
Oh, actually, I thought he did think it was a cloud. He did think it was a cloud.
Well,
he
I hope
so. It was
so.
Some kind of seeding thing. Yeah,
no,
he
I don't.
It
wasn't
kind of
seeding.
Thing.
No, it was a normal function of hurricane uplift. The enormous vectoring that goes on there, pushing moisture up as it runs over hot portions of the earth below. These things explode upward. We used to call them thunderheads in the old days, but these are hurricane thunderheads. They explode upward, they dissipate, and they're gone. Watch these storms spin through the Atlantic, and you'll see around the ring all kinds of these little things that just pop up and then disappear. So
Nothing there.
The Cascadia Fault, however, is another big issue that you should pay attention to. And the latest I heard is that some geologists at a university, I've forgotten which one, have said that if the Cascadia Subduction Fault were to move, they say everything west and moving east to Interstate 5 would likely be inundated. That's a long string. So something to think about there. All right, hold on, Madeline. We'll be right back and take your calls. The phone number is in guests right now. So take a look and dial in. We'll be right back.